This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Yes. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 11 من شهر صفر 1445 الموافق ل 28 الموافق ل 28 من شهر أغسطس 2023، نواصل درسنا بها في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today بعون الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last time. If I'm not wrong, we stopped at the saying of the muallif, فإنه معدو لي إلا رب العالمين. قال فلم يصح لخليل الله هذه الموالاة والخلة إلا بتحقيق هذه المعاداة. If you remember, Ibn al-Qayyim says there is no way for this خلة and the محبة between العبد and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take place illa bitahqiq al-mu'adah. You have the opposite towards anyone that is worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must make sure that you have both. So when a person claims that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time, he has to make sure that he hates whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This is what happened when Ibrahim says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمُ الْأَقْدَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِّي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, did you see what you worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمُ الْأَقْدَمُونَ. You and your parents. You and your foreparents and whoever amongst your ancestors, whatever they used to worship, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِّي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All of them are my enemies, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the only one that you worship and he is not my enemy is Allah. For those who are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among you, Ibrahim is telling them this. Other than that, whatever you worship in other than him is my real enemy. So Ibn al-Qayyim says there is no way for you to have the mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the time you have the mu'adat, hatred against anyone who is worshipped other than Allah subhanahu وتعالى. قال تعالى: قد كانت لكم أسوة حسنة في إبراهيم والذين معه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have the best example being given to you in the life of Ibrahim and those who are with him. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the best of examples to be followed. In who? In the life of Ibrahim, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and those who followed Ibrahim alayhi as-salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how he blessed the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by giving us these examples of role model, people that we are supposed to trace their life and try to do the same thing they did to succeed in this life. So Allah says the best of examples have been given to you in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also when he talked about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Whoever hopes, you know, to have an excellent meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the best example for him to follow in this life. Allah says, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Whoever wants the pleasure of Allah and whoever wants to succeed on the Day of Judgment, he must make sure that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the only one he imitates, you know, in this life. So Allah says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. You have the best example to be followed in the life of Ibrahim and those who are with him. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ. What is the best example? The best example of al-wala' wal-bara'. Wala' means loving somebody, being part of somebody, you know. Al-bara' means disconnecting yourself and detaching yourself from a person. So ولاؤنا يجب أن يكون للمؤمنين. You know, الولاء والبراء. You know, your ولاء must be for the believers alone. Yeah, must be for the believers alone. The non-believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to be kind with them. In Surah Al-Mumtahana, this is the surah that tells us what براء and ولاء is all about. But in the same place also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be kind to others, although they didn't share belief with us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not preventing you from, you know, being kind and just to those people who did not fight you, you know, and they did not take you out of your houses, you know, and they did not persecute you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be kind with them. The only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to disconnect yourself from them are those who are fighting you, who took your property, who chased you out of your house, who killed some of you, who persecuted some of you, and put you in a trial, very strong trial. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to disconnect yourself from them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the best example that you are supposed to be following is the example of Ibrahim and those who are with him. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ. This is Surah Al-Mumtahana. They told their people, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ. We have disconnected ourselves from you guys. إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعَبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And we are not part of that which you're worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have disconnected themselves from shirk wa ahli shirk. SubhanAllah. That's the best way to do the bara, you know, against anyone who's going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to detach yourself from them and also to detach yourself from that which they're worshipping. So they said, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ. We disbelieve in you and that which you're worshipping other than Allah. وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. And there is nothing between us and you except a strong enmity. أبداً, forever, we remain on this status. You know, between us and you is enmity and hatred and fight. حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Until the time you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are they referring to here? Those who are fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. those who fight in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers. As for those non-believers who are living with the Muslims in a state of peace, Allah asks you to be kind with them. You know, tell them good words, to try to invite them to the truth, share the good with them. Let them see the beauty of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fight any non-believer. He lives with the Jews. He lives with the mushrikeen. He lives with the munafiqeen. They did not see anything from him except kindness. He only fought those people who fought him. Those people who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time they want nothing except, you know, chaos in the community and to take away the peace from the community. That's why when he signed the treaty with them, you know, they did not cope with it. And what was the treaty all about? Nothing except let's live in peace. That's it. He did not ask them to pay jizya. He did not ask them to do anything, you know, in Medina. He told them just live with us in peace. We don't fight, you don't fight us, and you don't support somebody to fight us, and we don't support somebody who is fighting you, whoever this person might be. All, let's all together and preserve and protect the area. We live peacefully. But they don't want this. Yani, what's wrong with this, Yani? But they don't want this. These are the Jews. They kept on plotting and fighting, disappointing, you know, until the time they pushed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them, he get them out of the place, and some of them he killed them. Oh, those who get out of the place, they went to Khaybar and constructed a very strong military base where they fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from there. Waliyadu billah. They were fighting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought them down to their knees during the battle of the Khaybar. And he took them out of the Jazeera al-Arabiyyah. So what I'm trying to say here is, when we talk about the wala wal-bara, your love should be with the believers. You get it? Your bara, this connection, and hatred should be with the shirk wa ahli. But for those people who are not fighting the believers and they live with you in peace, Sharia asks you to be kind to them and to show them good faces, you know, to invite them to Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qatala mu'ahadan min ghayri jurmin lam yarah ra'ihatal jannah." If a person kills a mu'ahad means somebody who lives with the Muslims in a state of peace without any justification for that. And when we say without justification, it's not in our hand. Even if he does something bad, he killed one of your relatives, waliyadhu billah, you're not supposed to take action by yourself. The one who is responsible to take the action is the authority, the government, not us. Yeah, you report, you know, he did something wrong, report him, just like the way you report a Muslim when he did something wrong. You don't take action against him. This is the job of the authority, the government, is investigate to see who is right. You being a Muslim doesn't mean you're always right. When you oppress them, you have to be held responsible and accountable of that. And you have to receive the consequence. Being a Muslim doesn't mean that you have a ticket to disrespect others. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach us this. He taught us justice. Yeah, when you have people, two people fighting each other, one of them is a Muslim and the other one is non-Muslim, you know, you don't just go and support the Muslim. No, you have to investigate and see who is right, who is wrong. If that kafir is wrong, you give him you tell him you're wrong. If that Muslim is wrong, you tell him you're wrong. Yeah. I'm a Muslim, yes, you're a Muslim, but Islam doesn't tolerate this. That's why in some part of the history, they said a Jew converted Islam and he stole something that belongs to Umar radiallahu anhu, or something that belongs to Ali bin Abi Talib. And they went to the court. And the judge was appointed by the head of state, the Khalifa. Much bigger than the king we have nowadays, and much bigger than the prime ministers, the ministers, and the presidents, you know. As a Khalifa leading all the Muslim territories. And this, on top of all, this is Ali bin Abi Talib, you know, one of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, number five in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In ranking, he's number five in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when they go and he couldn't provide evidence, although the thing belongs to him, he's so sure about that. And the Jews sure that this belongs to Ali bin Abi Talib. But In Islam, you just have to provide evidence to support your case. So when you claim that this is yours, you must bring evidence. Otherwise, everyone will go, you know, and tell others, this is mine. As the Prophet said, لَوْ يُعْطَ النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَهُمْ لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ دِمَاءَ قَوْمٍ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. He says, if we are going to just give whatever everyone is claiming, every day people are going to claim a right, having a right over the blood of others and their wealth. Yeah, I just say, oh, Qayyum is nice, Qayyum is good. And then he claims something, he said, this one belonged to me. And the one who's holding it, let's say, is a normal person in the community. I would just say, oh, Qayyum is good. Khalas, give it to him. But that might not be true. You might find a person, though he is righteous, but shaitan can deceive him to claim something that doesn't belong to him. So we have this principle which is supposed to be applicable on all. But nowadays, if you don't have wealth, it turns against you in the court. Sometimes you just have to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take my right on the day of judgment. Yeah. I don't know, but this is story they mentioned that said it's happened to Allahu Alam. Somebody hit a person riding a bicycle. Yeah. In one of the countries. Yeah, not the rich countries, because rich countries riding a bicycle doesn't mean poverty. In those countries, when you see a person with a bicycle, you know who this person is. Rich people don't ride bicycles. So this person with a very nice and fancy car hit the bicycle guy. And the bicycle guy took him to the court. And the judge said, where is the bicycle guy who hit the car? So now the bicycle guy has to come and defend himself. He's a criminal. That's not the behavior that happened during the time of the companionship of the Prophet ﷺ. Ali ibn Abi Talib came, and the Jew came. You know, this is Jew. Not just a normal kafir. You know, one of the worst kuffar on earth. He came. And the judge asked, what is the case? Ali ibn Abi Talib said, what he is holding belongs to me. So the judge said, what do you think about that? Talking to the Jew. The Jew said, no, this is not his. So since he denied, because when he claims something, we ask the accused person to reply. If he confessed, then we ask him to keep the thing, and that's it. If he doesn't confess, then we come back to you, asking you to provide evidence for your claim. So he asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, any evidence to support your claim? He said, no. Ali ibn Abi Talib asked the guy, because this is, the judge asked the guy to swear by Allah. And you know, they will swear by Allah, these are the Jews. So he did. And the judge gave him the thing. He said, this is yours, just go with it. Because this is the Sharia. We ask the claimant to provide evidence. If he is not able to provide evidence to support his case, then we turn the case to the accused person. Are you willing to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this thing belongs to you? Because that person, you know, might not have an evidence, but it doesn't mean he is wrong. Is that clear? Because not necessarily that whenever I do something with others, I have to bring people to witness that. Sometimes it's only me and him, and there wasn't anything written. You know, so when I say this is mine, he said no. He asked me to provide evidence. He knows I don't have anyone next to us when I was giving him the thing. So the judge will ask, where's the evidence? So no evidence. So for us to, make sure that what we're doing is right, then we ask this person who is accused by his partner that he took the thing, we ask him to swear by Allah. Yeah, because if he fears Allah, he will not swear by Allah. We ask him to swear by Allah. In the past, they used to do it in a very, very, very harsh way. Although there is something called in Al-Qadha, when you guys study, there is a subject called Al-Qadha. Very interesting subject. So when you study that, that is, there are situations whereby the yameen, the oath, is supposed to be mughallaza. Mughallaza means you emphasize on it, you stress on it so much. I mean, you make it harsh. How? You take a person next to the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, people have this big respect. You take a person next to Kaaba, ask him to swear by Allah. You get it? These are all, or you wait first until Asr time, and you ask him to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you make it, you know, you add some word. Rather than, instead of just asking him to say Wallahi, tell him, ask him to say Billahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. You know, to add this so that he will feel the danger of what he is about to be doing. In some places, what they do, they bring a copy of a Quran, an old Quran, you know, the handwritten one. People have special respect to it. They'll bring the handwritten Quran, and they will ask a person to hold it. You get it? It will be holding, and they will bring the, you know, the prayer mat we have like this. Yeah, before, they don't have this. They used to use the skin of animals. You know, after the tanning, they remove all the fadalat and they open it. You just see the shape of the animal, but they use it to pray on. So they'll bring that one. That one also is having some value because this is the old conservative life. People respect it and they have some prestige. You know, it has some prestige, you know, when people see it. So they will bring it and ask the person to be standing on it and take that old Quran and put it on his head. By the time he put it on his head, and the whole people who are sitting in the court, they will say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. When people say, Inna lillahi, the moment he put it on his head, they will say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Subhanallah, they said when the court audiences said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, you will see that person usually shivering. Yeah. Many of them, they don't even swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just bring the Quran down and tell the judge, I close this case, I don't want anymore. Even if he's right, they say, I don't want anymore. This is wrong, although it was practiced in the past, and they're doing this to let the person feel the sensitivity of the matter, but it's wrong. Because you have some people who get so much scared. You get an idea. And you have people who are reported that they swore by Allah in the court and something happened to them in their life. So the community know about these guys. So when a person goes to the court, even if he has right, he will be scared of swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taglidhul yameen, when we do it in the normal way. Yeah. The purpose of it is just a person to feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So that whatever he is going to say, he say it in the right way. So back to the topic, we have this concept of justice. Being a Muslim doesn't mean you're always right. Yeah, we have to apply justice upon every single one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وبدا بيننا وبينكم العداوة والبغضاء أبدا حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده. They say there is nothing between us and you except enmity and hatred and battle. And they are referring to those people who are fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers. And they said, حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده. This bara, this connection from the shirk and the people of shirk, is going to remain until the time they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. And remember when Ibrahim told his father, وَقَوْمِهِ and his people, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. I have disconnected myself from whatever you worship. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. And I worship nobody except that who created me. Alladhi fatarani means the one who created me out of nothing. فَإِنَّهُ سَيْهَدِي. And I believe he is the one who will guide me to the right path. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a word that has been inherited by the descendants of Ibrahim. Last time I told you, Ibrahim built a nation through what? Tawheed. Yeah, built a nation through Tawheed. Makkah, if you go back to the history, Makkah was built through what? Tawheed. A strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is 100% away from shirk. That's how he gave the tarbiyah to his people and the whole family, you know, the wives and the children. That's why they live in a place where there was nobody and they survived. They live in a place where there was no food and they survived. Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them something which up to date we are benefiting from it. What was that? Zamzam. They live with Zamzam. They survive with Zamzam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in that water everything they need to survive. Teach us that this is the benefit of Tawheed. That's why when they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're making so many false statements, you know, out of ignorance, and they know exactly what they're saying. They know what they're saying is wrong. وَقَالُوا إِنَّ تَبِعَ الْهُدَى مَعَكَ نُتَخَطَّفْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا. They said the reason why we don't accept you is simply because of the fact that if we are to accept the righteousness and the guidance, مَعَكَ together with you, نُتَخَطَّفْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا, we are going to be snatched by the tyrant kings. And subhanAllah, they know from day one, from the time they opened their eyes and found themselves in that place, the tyrant rulers have been skipping Makkah. Whenever they fight a city, they will skip Makkah. They will keep on destroying everyone. But when they come to Makkah, they don't fight. Naturally protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ نُمَكِّرْ لَهُمْ حَرَمًا آمِنًا يُجْبَى إِلَيْهِ ثَمَرَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Didn't we give them a very protected and peaceful place? Haram? Didn't we give them that? He says in another place, وَيْتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ, whereby everyone around them is being snatched by the strong nations. And Makkah has not been touched. So what are they talking about? But subhanAllah, when they refuse to accept, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّن مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَاتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at give them the example of a city, كَانَتْ آمِنَةً, which used to be a very peaceful place, the most peaceful place. مُطْمَئِنَّةً, in the state of peace and tranquility. يَأْتِهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. The risk of that city is coming from every place in abundance. They don't grow that much, but everything is coming for them. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِ. When he put them in that place and he knows they don't have anything except that little amount of tamar he gave them. But subhanAllah, this is Ibrahim. His iman is unique. He just believed that this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. Put them in that place, he put them in that place. No question to Allah, Ya Allah, how will they survive? Ya Allah, how are they going to live? Ya Allah, who will be protecting them? SubhanAllah, no question of this nature. And you can see this is how he gave the tarbiyah to his family, you know, teaching them that if you are with Allah, you shouldn't worry. Yeah, that's why when she asked him, where are you going? He did not answer. Is Allah the one who asked you to stay, to bring us here? He said, yes. She said, what? إِذَنْ لَنْ يُضَيَّعْنَا. She said, I believe that Allah will never neglect us. And she left. SubhanAllah. The husband and the wife and the children who came there all upon this heavy and strong tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and heavy and strong trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ismail, when Ibrahim told him, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, he said, I saw in my dream that I was slaughtering you, in the dream. The son might tell him in our concept that that was a nightmare. Just ignore. But Ismail told him, Ya Abati, he said, Father, if Alma tu'mar, he did not say, do what you believe in. No, he said, do what you are commanded to do. SubhanAllah. He told him, just go ahead with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do. He knows that this is going to be the end of his life. But because of that strong trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he submitted himself and the father put him to the ground. You know, subhanAllah. He turned his head upside down because he cannot see him. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. SubhanAllah. He put him towards the opposite side so that he would not see the face. You know, he put the knife to slaughter him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him. That's more than enough. SubhanAllah. I just want you to feel the nature of the tarbiyah Ibrahim gave his family. That was how Makkah and the Gulf countries were established. And if they are to forget this tawheed, oxymoron.
times. Receive the success. Only Allah SWT can give this. But He can show you all the guidance, all the ways, you know, you can take Him to the path of the success, but it's up to Him to follow. He might follow, He might not follow. He might follow, He might not. So who makes Him, who gives Him ability to follow? Allah SWT. So you want success, you look for it from Allah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. So don't base your life on things that you see, surrounding you. We have in our cultures, in almost every country, you have these things. You have these things. Things and beliefs and cultural beliefs which are brought to the community, and they have no connection to this at all. People are really suffering because of that. You can see many people are doing things because of those beliefs. That's why learning the Sunnah becomes a lot as necessary. You are live a very simple and good life. When they asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give them permission to commit zina, he said, no. How about drinking wine? How about worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the first thing I stop you from doing. So, you know, they don't get this, permission. You know, no discount given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the end of the day, you know, they end up asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what to do with this armor? You know, they have an idol that they worship. Destroy it. They said they can't. So, okay, no problem. We'll send somebody to destroy it for you. A devil of this can be okay. You can see how these beliefs, you know, are making people slaves. Because they're afraid of it so much. They can't do anything except with the permission of those things. And who was talking to them? Shayateen and the devils. Sometimes real shaitan get into the idol and start to talk. I think this is wrong. Rasulullah sent somebody and he destroyed and they see it going down. We know that this is useless. They have been staying themselves in the wrong. قال وجعلها كلمة باقية قال وهي التي ورثها إمام الكون فاقي أتباعه إلى يوم القيامة. The estate of Ibrahim was Imam al-Khulafa, you know, the leader of Khulafa, Ibrahim al-Islam. Khulafa means those who stay away from Shaykh. When you see Hanif, Hanif al-Mahir, something that tilted away from Shaykh. The last one that called Ibrahim Hanif. And he called the path of Ibrahim Hanif. Millat Ibrahim Hanif. Al Hanifiyya. That's the path and the religion of Ibrahim, which is free from Shaykh. So Ibrahim left this for his followers. Ibrahim left this for his followers until the day of judgment. وَهِيَ الْكَلِمَةُ الَّتِي قَامَتْ بِهَا الْأَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ. And because of La ilaha illallah, the heavens and the earth were able to maintain their position. Allah. You know? And this is, subhanAllah, the ultimate truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتْهَا. If you have in the heavens or the earth, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped, the structure and the nature of the heavens and the earth will be gone. There's no way for the heavens to remain the way it is now, if there is something to be worshipped other than Allah. There's no creator other than Allah, nobody to be worshipped except Him. So that's why He says, because of these, this word, La ilaha illallah, the heavens and the earth were able to maintain their position. وَقَطَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا جَمِيعَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making the natural disposition of all of the creations. Yeah, everyone believes it. But the community, environment is changing. Nobody comes to a person and brainwash him. You cannot believe it is like. But unfortunately, you have the influence of parents, environment, community, friends. So a person will change. But the first place is
Mama.
He says that on this word, La ilaha illallah, that's why La ilaha illallah is missing, there is no Islam. Qawlan wahidan bil ijma, when La ilaha illallah is gone, Islam is gone, complete. That's why he says, Wa alayha ussisat al-millah. The millat of Islam, the religion of Islam is 100% based on that yeah. Because if you remove it, everything will be gone. If you remove it, everything will be gone. You can remove the rest of the pillars. According to the majority of the scholars, even the prayer, if a person doesn't pray completely, he's still Muslim. You know? But at the edge, there are some minority who said he goes out of Islam if he stops praying completely. Somebody stops praying the zakat. And he believes that prayer is wajib, zakat is wajib, but he stops praying. His Islam is shaky, but it doesn't get destroyed completely. But La ilaha illallah, when you destroy it, comes. No any other pillar can hold it. No any other pillar can hold the religion of La ilaha illallah is God. Wa nusibat al-qibla. Qibla is based on what? Tawheed. Qibla to the wahid. It's the whole indicators to that way. But jewelry lets you for jihad. And the sword of jihad are taken out of their houses because of this. Any battle between the prophets and them, and those people who fought them, is based on what? La ilaha illallah. That's why we always say what? La ilaha illallah. Or we forgot that La ilaha illallah has a big price to be paid. It means your life is going to be governed by the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from A to Z. Who believes in this? Everyone will say that they believe in this. But who is really, really, really letting the manifestation of this word taking place in his life? Only a few of us. Yeah, just be honest with yourself and sit down in your house and think for a moment. Are you really that person who always submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything, even if it is against his desire? If you have some objection and you have some circumstances where you say to Allah, no, Allah, you la ilaha illallah is shaykh, your iman is shaykh. You don't deserve that title of a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are a believer, you are a Muslim. But your iman is deficient. So you have to know that yes, there is a price to be paid when you say La ilaha illallah. It simply means that your life is going to be based on La ilaha illallah. Meaning you do what Allah asks you to do, you stay away from what He asks you to stay. and he would never let him see you in places where he didn't want to see you. And you will never let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miss you in places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see you. Islam is all about this. That's why they say it's what? Submission. They submit to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. You do only that which He loves. I guess this is very clear, right? Allah branches to free. And this is the essence of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His creation. And it is the only protection that people have. It protects their life, it protects their blood, it protects their family, their project. This is life. And the only way a person to protect himself from the punishment of Allah in the grave and in the hellfire. And that's the only book, a certificate that nobody can go to Jannah except when you can hold it. Walhamdulillahi la yasudu illallah man lam yata'allaq bihi. And it is the only hope that if you don't hold upon it, you will never reach Allah subhanahu. Everyone is claiming to reach Allah. La ilaha illallah is the only hope that can take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the only means that can take you to Allah. No way for a person to reach Allah if his la ilaha illallah is deficient. Wa hiya kalimatul Islam. And this is the word of Islam. This is Islam completely. Wa miftahu dar as-salam. And the key of the dar as-salam. What is dar as-salam? The dar as-salam. Jannah. Not Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, you know? The scholar says there's a place on earth called Dar es Salaam. It has all kinds of mosquitoes and the only Dar es Salaam is Jannah. That's the only place that deserves to be called Dar es Salaam.
No weariness, no fatigue, no tiredness, you know, no worry in that place, no stress, no depression. You know, it's a complete life which is based on peace and tranquility. 100% of happiness and continuous happiness forever and ever and ever with no end. That's why it deserves Dar es Salaam. And people greet each other in Jannah with As-Salaam. And this dunya, there is no Dar es Salaam. Yeah, by name, we can call a place whatever you want to call, you know. You have people calling themselves also those beautiful and nice names, but their behavior is not like that. Yeah, you should look at your name and also try to follow, you know, the meaning of that name. That's why they said it is, if the name is good. If it is not good, you change it to another name. That's why they said it is part of the right of a child that he should be given by the parent a good name. Yeah, because name usually has impact on the one that you are naming. So miftahu dar es salaam. You want a key to Jannah? Get this. Yeah, they have some people who are giving people just a physical key. They said they told them this is the key to Jannah. It's a joke, right? Yeah, they do. And subhanAllah, they believe in this. They don't pray, they don't fast, they don't do anything. If you ask them, why don't you fast? He said, I have the key. Why do you fast? You want to go to Jannah, right? I already have the key. وَبِهَنْ قَسَمَ النَّاسُ إِلَىٰ شَقِيٍ وَسَعِيدٍ. And because of this, la ilaha illallah, you are able to see the differences amongst the people. This one is shaqi, this one is sa'id. Shaqi means the bad one. Sa'id means the good one. وَمَقْبُولٌ وَطَرِيدٌ. The one that is accepted by Allah and the one that is chased away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِهَمْ فَاصَلَتْ دَارُ الْكُفْرُ مِنْ دَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And this is the word that separated the hostile land, you know, the Dar al-Kufr, the place of Kufr, and the Kufar, and the Dar al-Islam. Yeah, now this is not a separation, right? It's the dunya. They have the dunya and people think that they are better than the place of the Muslims. Muslim territory, even if they don't have anything except the iman, is far better than the kuffar places, even if they have everything. قَالَ وَتَمَيَّزَتْ دَارُ النَّعِيمِ مِنْ دَارِ الشَّقَاءِ وَالْهَوَانِ. وهي العمود الحامل للفرض والسنة. من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, and because of this la ilaha illallah, we see the clear difference and the segregation between Jannah and hell. Daru al-Na'im, this is Jannah. Wa daru al-Shaqa, this is hell. Al-Shaqa wal-Hawan, disrespect and humiliation. And this is a pillar, you know, that always motivates people to do whatever they're doing in this religion, whether it's wajib or it is sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, he says, man kana akhira kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. If your last word in this dunya is la ilaha illallah, you'll be going to paradise. It is the most important word. There is no kalima which is, even closer to this word in Islam. That's why your struggle should be based on what? Preservation of la ilaha illallah. Make sure that you don't have shirk in your life. In whatever you do, you preserve the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your behavior. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq. We stop here, inshallah. The next class, we continue from where we stop. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Barakallahu fikum. Any question?
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. There were a few questions from the last class that we didn't get to ask. The first question is from Sajjad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsanallahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. What is the wisdom behind covering food at night? If one does not do so, should he dispose the food?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a night in a year where the calamity comes, one of the calamity, and musibah or something bad, you know, that goes and it will not leave anything that is open except it goes inside. So that's why we're commanded to close everything, turn it upside down, you know, the cups and the plates, you turn it upside down. Yeah, if you don't have anything to close it with, he said, if you were to put a stick on top of it, do. That will prevent that calamity from entering. Yeah. Disaster might happen to the life of a person when he eats something inside after that thing goes inside. Yeah. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why it's not good to leave things at night uncovered, especially when you're going to sleep, close, cover them or turn them upside down.
A question from Nifa Ibrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, Sheikh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi.
When combining and shortening prayers during travel, is it only allowed during the journey itself if the person is traveling home? For example, a person is traveling back to their home country and will reach past Isha time. So if they want to combine Maghrib and Isha, would they have to pray during the journey or before they reach home? Or can they combine and pray once they reach home during the time of Isha?
Yes, she can, or he or she can leave the prayer until they reach home. Delay the Maghrib until they reach home, then they combine them. For the Maghrib, if they reach at the Isha time for the Maghrib, okay, Maghrib doesn't have a qasr. They pray just normal prayer. And the Isha also, they have to pray complete prayer in 4 rakat. But if, let's say, they delay Dhuhr until Asr time, and they reach during the Asr time. Dhuhr time already finished, right? Yeah, they reach during the Asr time. They pray Dhuhr only 2 rakat. Asr time, they pray 4 rakat. Again, because the Dhuhr time already finished when it was only 2 rakat that are obligatory upon him. So he just prayed 2 rakat, right? But the Asr, since the time remains, he did not pray yet, then he has to pray 4 rakat for the Asr when he reach home. Allah grant is good. So you can, inshallah, delay the Maghrib prayer until Isha time, you pray when you reach home.
There's a follow-up question to prayer during traveling. How long can a person pray when he's traveling? Some people say only 5 days or 4 days. Some people say until the end of your journey.
You have the opinion of many scholars. Most of the scholars actually that restricted it to 4 days without counting the day you are in and the day you are out. That's the safest opinion. But if a person is intending to leave very soon, and he takes the other opinion that says he can do the qasr of salah until he leaves, that's fine, inshallah. As long as the intention is there, especially when you're not sure are you going to be in one place or not. Get it? You go to the place, you're not really sure. And the possibility of you leaving the place at any moment is always there. Yeah, then in this case, you can just continue with your qasr. Is that clear, inshallah? Those people who are coming to visit Malaysia, they come to KL, for instance, and the plan is to stay in KL for 6 days. But then they know that this can change. Yeah, at any time they might change intention to another place. They can just continue to do the qasr until they go back, even if they stay for 1 month in Malaysia. Yeah, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, inshallah. Question. Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh. What is the ruling on using zikr beads to do zikr?
The best is to avoid it and to use your hand, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you do tasbih, use your hand, because they are going to witness this when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I don't know why do we change something that is better for us to something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not recommend. Since he has a say here, it is always better for a person to avoid it. There are some scholars who call it innovation. But there are some scholars who said, since it has an objective for somebody who doesn't know how to keep the count, the track to his counting, he uses that for that purpose, we just close an eye. Something that is not recommended, something that is not the best to be done. The best is not to use it at all. Use your hand, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should use your hand because they will witness this moment when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, so this is how we should take it. A person should be on the safe side, not to use the beads in his tasbih. You get it? And you know that some actually look at it as an innovation. So it's better to just avoid it and just go to your fingers, inshallah. Finish.
Two more questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. May Allah bless you always. I am about to approach a sister for marriage, and it is looking likely that they will accept me. However, I am still scared that I will not fulfill the amanah, as we are both still studying and we don't have job. How can we increase our tawakkul?
They should know that this fear, you know, is not going to end. People have this, and as I always mention, as long as you have something to accommodate, a place to accommodate your wife, and also enough money for you to provide food for both of you, even if it is so light, but she will be satisfied with that, just go ahead and marry. That's it. Don't delay. As long as you have a place to accommodate your wife, and also you have salary, you know, anything that you earn, revenue that comes to you, which is enough for you to survive, you and your family, just go ahead and marry. Don't wait for a huge amount of money to be given to you, you know. And all of these fears, just leave them, keep them aside. Yeah, this is not our life. Yeah, Allah did not ask you to just go. You don't have any means to just go and do it like that. But at the same time, if you have means, don't exaggerate. Don't say, I have to have a huge amount and then I go for marriage. No, that's a strong decision. Yeah, you have the moderate one that is sufficient for you and your family. Just go ahead and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in it. So keep the fear aside, inshallah. One of the poet, when he died, he said, please put on my grave, هَذَا مَا جَنَى عَلَيَّ أَبِي وَمَا جَنَيْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. He said, put on my grave that my death is a crime that was committed on me by my father. To get that one, he meant, if his father did not give birth to him, he will not die. Why did he die? Because the father brought him to this life. So he did not marry. He said, whoever died in this life, the father is a criminal. Why did he do things which bring him to existence? So we have heard about people nowadays also who go to this, when they want to marry, they have to do a long calculation first. If I marry now, now my life is, I mean, somehow good. If I marry now, I'm going to have, I might be tested with a very terrible wife, or I might be tested with a very terrible husband. It's going to mess up my life, you know? And if I escape this, my wife is okay, or my husband is okay, the children might be criminals. You know, at the same time, I'm going to have a lot of headache in my life. So when he does all of these calculations, they might need to go to school, and I don't have money to take them to the school. When he makes all of these calculations, what is the conclusion? Khalas, I don't want to marry. He stays away from marriage. Good for him. May Allah guide them. So in Islam, we don't have this concept, and we don't have these calculations. The Prophet said, as long as you can afford, you know, to support a wife physically and financially, Rasulullah said, just go on and marry. And that's it. Other than that, keep on being, I mean, moving, you know. Be productive in your life. Don't be lazy, you know. Don't be lazy. Stand up, Allah SWT will grant you. Wallahi, we have heard about people whose job is very, very insignificant. Very insignificant. But they live a very comfortable life. Yeah. They have a very comfortable life. Some of them you won't believe. You know, I know some people personally, you know, the amount of the children they have, you know, we're talking about 30, 40 children. And the job is very simple job. And subhanAllah, you don't see need in his family. Yeah, that he was able to manage what he has. Yeah. And people see him as a rich person, and we know what job he has. So marriage has secret for somebody who is not lazy. The thing is, don't be lazy. Just move. Allah will put barakah in that which you get. Bismillah azawajal. Yes, Kayyum.
A question by Uzair.
I have 2 minutes. I'll show me for Maghrib.
Ciao, Sheikh. Question by Uzair, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإليكم.
Could you show us?
It's like you are, yeah, doing the act. Yeah. والله أعلم. I am among those who are inclined to. The point is to use your finger. Whatever is easy for you, as long as you are using your finger, you know, that's okay. Now these ones, if you count, you know, you go, you know, they see the joint. Yeah. We count them, you have 15, I guess, right? Yeah, coming back also 15. So that's 30. So you add only 3 to make, yeah, so you go from, you start from here and go here, and then come back, that's 30, and then add 3 more, and then you're done. Whatever can reach you, I mean, can take you to maintaining that number, inshallah, is okay. But I heard some of our scholars, in the student of knowledge in Medina, I remember somebody was explaining to another person in the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is how it's supposed to be done. Because the word mentioned al-aqd. Al-aqd is to tighten something, to make like, what do you call, to tie something, to make some knots. So they said it's just like that. But as I said, inshallah, al-amru fihi sa'ah. Yeah, whether you do use the joint like this, many are doing this. Whatever is easier for you. The point is, use your finger because it will witness this on the day of judgment, inshallah.
Last question, inshallah. Question by Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
In one of the recent classes, we mentioned evil eye, that if we know from whom it came, there is a procedure to go through according to the Sharia. Can we know what that procedure is?
I always forget this. Why do you ask me this question? And inshallah, remind me next week, inshallah, to get you precisely what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised that person to do. It happened to do with that person making wudu, and then the water to be taken, or wash some part of his body. And he watched. Stuck to my mind is the wudu, and then they take it and put on the face of that person, and then bismillah azza wa jalla he will wake up. But let me just get the hadith. inshallah, to get you precisely what the Prophet asked them to do. The next class, whatever is next class, we can answer that question, inshallah.
This is one more question.
I am told that there's only one. Okay.
Inshallah, last one. Question by Amatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Barakallahu feekum. Is it permissible to keep track of the counting on the other hand? So, for example, when we are doing 100,
we keep... Are you with the left hand also?
I don't think so. So, for example, when we are doing 100, we keep track on the other hand which round of 15 we are on. I think it's this hand, you count 15, this other hand, one round, second round, third round, fourth round.
Oh, so you're counting with this, but then...
The other hand
you do like that.
So when you do 15,
you do 13. 15, then you put, when you do the other 15 also, so you know that you're done with the 30.
Yeah.
It's okay. The main one is this. This one is just supporting. But the main tasbih shouldn't be done with the left. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves to do even normal things with the right hand. For sure, when it comes to the tasbih, the right hand takes preference. Yeah, but just keeping track, as you said, just making sure that you got what you are doing correctly with the right hand, then inshallah it's okay.
One more question here. Assalamualaikum. Someone asked, why is it that disbelievers tend to be believed more than Muslims, and Islam teaches us to not lie? Why do they practice better than us Muslims?
They don't. I just see it as just equal nature, both of us. Some of us lie, they also lie. That's why they have a strong system in their countries. You know, least in terms of corruption, you know, in terms of government corruption, than us. So that's why the community inside, people also became disciplined. Not because they're like that. If you want to see the real discipline, is the one that exists in the Muslim territories, because there is nobody who is telling them to do. They do it because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why my best example is the case in New York. Up to date, in those places, you don't have what we have in the Muslim territories. In the Muslim territories, sometimes you even forgot your car open. And you don't worry. I dare somebody to do it in those places. They know it doesn't exist. That's why they're always impressed when they go to the Arab countries. You know? A person can forget his things and come back and see it in the same place. That's why one of them, and they saw, when they ask why the hands of people are cut off in Islam when they steal. They were asking, how come we see sisters at night, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., they can hold their valuable items and walk alone and nobody is attacking them. As somebody says, they know in the US, if they are to do it, you know, somebody can, she put their gold, somebody can cut the ears to get. And you cannot forget your door open. The house door. You can't. Yeah, we also have issues, you know, from time to time, but it's not like what they have. Good idea. So in the New York, when they took off electricity for 1 hour, 2 hours, subhanAllah, this is when the true picture of the community revealed. They said they lost billions of dollars. Many people lost their life. Many people were raped. Many, just 2 hours, you know, no electricity at night. The amount of the crime that were committed by those people, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And I've seen in some non-Muslim countries, when the government was gone, subhanAllah, I see the way people are rushing to the malls and packing people's things and running away with them. Which, subhanAllah, in the Muslim territories, we don't have this that much. We might have thieves. So they also lie. Yeah, just go to the inside life. Don't take what is given to us by the media. They also lie. They also have lack of amana. They also cheat. Yeah, that's just us and them is equal. We have some additional benefit which they don't have. So they don't practice Islam, they lost the root of Islam, which is Tawheed. So we don't say that they practice Islam. We don't say they have more Islam. No. Manners and behaviors, they were there actually. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came, he says, Allah sent me to perfect the good manners, right? To bring them and increase them and perfect them. They were there. But you base them on a concrete and strong thing, you know, that will maintain them until the time you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have this. We have the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest motivator that is motivating us to be standing upright, which they don't have. So there is no Islam in that place. Islam exists in the Muslim territories. We have the Tawheed, we have the values, we have the manner. They lost the Tawheed, they lost everything. Even if they show good manners in some circumstances, it doesn't mean they're better than the Muslim territory. I believe it's wrong. The person has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says, you know, I'm talking about those people who are saying that Islam exists in the non-Muslim countries and there is no Islam in the Muslim country. This is a lie. This is an absolute lie. What Islam is there and is more valuable if there is no Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we do have Ma'asi in our place. Yes, does it. They have the root of Ma'asi in their own places. Go to this Western community and see some places. You will not believe that these are the places that you were told before. No. So we have to really, really be careful when we talk about these matters. Islam exists in the Muslim territories. It doesn't exist in the non-Muslim territories. Yeah, they have good manners. Islam is not all about good manners. No behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person lost everything. Otherwise, what is it good in dealing with others in a good way and you deal with Allah in a bad way? What is it? You know? And then we come and call it Islam. What is Islam? It is not. May Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If I don't